Hey everybody, welcome to the Hunter's Quest. This is your host, Hunter McWaters. Great to be with you guys. I am in the thick of getting ready for hunting season. Right now it's August 13th. I leave on the 25th for Alaska, going down there with Casey Richmond from Eberly Stock. Going to be an awesome fly-in hunt, something I booked like 2 years ago with a really good pilot air service called Toke Air. So looking forward to that. Might be my last caribou hunt for a while. I've been kind of on a caribou kick lately, but, you know, spoiler alert, I'm thinking about probably doing a high country mule deer archery hunt next August. And it's kind of sick, but I'm already dreaming of next August, and I haven't even started this hunting season yet. But anyway, looking forward to Alaska and another great season of content. Got a bunch of, or several mule deer tags, a blacktail tag, like I said, that caribou hunt. And I just booked a pretty cool free range, no fence, free range spot and stalk axis hunt in Texas in April. So going to be another really great season. And I wanted to mention real quick, I just finished editing both of my New Zealand episodes with J.E. Wilds. So the first episode, we survived literally a 50-year storm that destroyed 3 4 season tents and almost killed us. The scariest thing that's ever happened to me on a hunt. That episode will be dropping next week. So that'll be the week of August 18th. So if you're not subscribed, make sure to search my name, Hunter McWaters, or The Hunter's Quest on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button, sign up for notifications, because that video is going to be going live, and it's a wild, wild story. We saw a huge stag and a huge chamois on the first day, then basically got destroyed by a gnarly storm for like 2 or 3 days. And we toughed it out and stuck in there and found success, but you'll have to see how it all went down on my YouTube channel next week, August 18th, or if you're listening to this later, it's probably live right now. But anyway, guys, and then after that, I'll be releasing probably like mid-September, just because I'll be on the road, but I'll be releasing my red stag hunt from the second half of that New Zealand trip. New Zealand is everything that people say it is. It's the wildest, most gnarly place I've ever been, the most challenging physically and mentally hunt I've ever done. Insane. So really cool episodes. Looking forward to sharing those with you guys. So go to YouTube, subscribe to the channel, and please share the show with friends and family. Just last thing I want to mention real quick. It's a great time to gear up for the season. If you need any new clothing pieces, highly, highly encourage you to try a piece or two from Canis Athlete. You can check them out at canisathlete.com. And if you do, please use my discount code. You'll save some money and you will be helping me out. I don't get any direct commissions, but it helps me greatly if they can see that I sent you there. So use that code QUEST at canisathlete.com. Try a piece. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Amazing stuff, and looking forward to some new stuff coming down the line. Hint, hint from them, but I can't talk much about that. Last thing I want to mention, the new Eberly Stock Mod Frame and Brooks Pack Series. I know I've been talking a lot about it if you follow me on social media, but that's because I legit think it is a massive upgrade in the Eberly Stock hunt lineup. Like, they already had some great stuff. I've been running the mainframe and the Vapor Pack Series for years. It's a great system. But this new mod frame just takes them into the 21st century as far as like modular pack systems and like pack frame systems go. It is a huge leap forward. You know, it's got improved padding on the shoulder straps and better lumbar support, but also it has load lifters, which the mainframe does not have. and the pack itself is much lighter and it's got a bigger hip belt. They took that frame, and huge improvement. Like, I did a training ruck yesterday, about 80 pounds, and did 3.5 miles. And you guys know, you're going to start to feel it a little bit in your shoulders and, get a little uncomfortable with that heavy weight. I'm telling you guys, I did not really even think about it. It's an extremely comfortable pack frame. And the new Brooks packs, they have a 3,500 and a 7K. And they took all the good stuff from the Vapor packs, and literally they took all those little kind of quirks, not huge issues, but there were a few little quirks in those packs that like just made them not perfect. And they might have created like the perfect pack because every single one of those little quirks and like weird things in the Vapor packs, they fixed all of them and made a bunch of improvements like locking straps, more straps to put more stuff on there, a new stretchy pocket. The beaver tail unzips all the way around on both sides. A couple new additional pockets, a roll top, a bunch of stuff I'm not even thinking about right now. Better materials. Anyway, it's a huge improvement, and I know I'm rambling, but if you go to eberlestock.com/quest, there's a gear list on there of all my favorite Eberle stock stuff, and you'll get a discount if you shop through that link or use the discount code quest at checkout. And like I said, it just helps me out big time. So whether you need to buy something for the range or for everyday carry or hunt, anything, if you could, please use the code quest or get it through my link, eberlestock.com/quest. It would help me out immensely. And it is very, very good stuff. Okay, guys. You've heard me talk about Garmin before. This episode is with my buddy Patrick over at Garmin. Just started working with Garmin. Super excited about that. Very proud about that. It's an amazing company, and they have some awesome tools right now to help hunters that I've implemented in my system and have made a huge difference in what I'm doing and, long range accuracy and building dope cards and communications. Anyway, a lot of great stuff. So I'm in this episode with the guys from Garmin. We talk about watches, inReach Messengers, a new Messenger Plus, the Zero Chronograph, a bunch of stuff. Really great stuff from Garmin. So hope you guys enjoy this episode. Again, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, follow along on Instagram, and share the show with friends and family. Thanks for the support, guys. See you on the next one. All right, everybody, welcome to the Hunter's Quest podcast. This is your host, Hunter McWaters. It's great to be with you guys as always. And today I am joined by a guy I've known for a while in the industry, good buddy of mine now, Patrick, and also an expert from Garmin. I guess Patrick's still an expert too, but maybe a ninja level expert. Greg at Garmin. And if you guys haven't heard me talk about it, I just recently started working officially with Garmin and very excited. I've been using their products for years, even well before I was working with them officially, but very excited to represent Garmin. And it's one of those brands where, I have friends at the gym who kind of keep up with what I do, but they're not really hunters, But when I told them, I was like, "Oh, I'm working with Garmin now." They're like, "Ooh, okay, nice." So it's pretty cool. Yeah. So good to be with you guys. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us. This is great. It's really exciting to get working with you this year, and looking forward to a cool show here. So
yeah, absolutely. The reason I wanted to have you guys on was we were talking about it before we got on air is, the y'all's products, mainly when I say this, I'm talking about the watch right now, but there's three main products that I really use consistently. The new ones for this year, or the new one for this year, is the Garmin Zero chronograph. And in conjunction with the new Applied Ballistics feature on my watch, and then obviously I've been using inReach forever. I just this year upgraded to the inReach Messenger Plus.
Yep.
But I wanted to have you guys on because we were talking before about how a lot of guys run Garmin watches and probably use about 20% of the functionality or less and don't even know everything. And there's just so much to know about these things. So that's kind of what I wanted to have you on. But before we jump in, I did want to just kind of ask you guys just a little bit about your personal background and stuff like that, so people know who they're listening to. And so yeah, I'll start with you, Patrick, since I've known you the longest. And I don't know, I met you probably what, 3 or 4 years ago, just kind of at the shows, and kind
Yeah.
of would come say what's up every now and then. And but yeah, tell me just a little bit about your background, how long you've been at Garmin, what led you to what you're doing now, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. So, my name's Patrick Bowman. I've grown up here in Kansas City pretty much my whole life. For those of you that don't know, Garmin's actually headquartered here in just south of Kansas City in Olathe, Kansas. So it's a company that I always knew about growing up. And then going to school right down the road at K-State and coming back, I saw a job opening with Garmin dealing with their dog and their hunting products. So that's really what brought me to the company. And I started about 5 years ago on our product support team. So being the guy that answered the phone call, talking to customers, which was a cool experience. I wouldn't change any of it. It was one of those things where I got to learn the product first. I got to learn it really, really well. And then hopping over to the marketing side about 3 years ago, which would have been right around the time that you and I met, Hunter. And I've been doing it ever since. So I cover our sponsorships and partnerships here at Garmin for anything hunt, tactical, dog related. And I've loved it, man. It's been cool to meet guys like you and work with folks like you, and spread the good Garmin gospel. So I've been a waterfowl hunter for as long as I can remember. Recently, in the last few years, I've switched more over into the big game side of things. I won't
Nice.
give you any credit, Hunter, but I definitely influenced by the folks that I work with. So
Okay. Cool, man.
it's been really cool.
So that's a big job, dealing with all that. I know, 'cause I deal with, your counterparts in several different companies. And I know kind of what that job is. It's not an easy job. Do you have a background in marketing, or did you just kind of learn on the fly, or?
Yeah, I do. So at K-State, I actually was in a program called Wildlife and Outdoor Enterprise Management. It's a bit of a
That's cool.
mouthful, but essentially what it is it's like wildlife biology meets business. So you learn kind of all the ins and outs, the nitty-gritties of the outdoor industry as a whole.
That's
Anything
awesome.
from classes like range management to waterfowl identification to soil science and kind of everything in between, but it also mixes in all those business aspects like the marketing,
Wow.
sales, kind of all those pieces. So while I have a little bit of a marketing background, I definitely did not work a marketing job before coming at Garmin. But
Yeah.
really, it's been one of those things that over the past few years, I've really got to dive into, learn what works, what doesn't work. And honestly, it's my belief that you can be taught marketing, it's really hard to be taught the hunting industry or how things work, how people talk. So it was a
Yeah.
pretty easy transition and it's been awesome.
Yeah, man. First of all, that's really cool. I wish they had that at my school, 'cause that sounds like exactly what I would have done.
Oh,
That
right. Dude, it was
sounds
such a
so
cool
cool.
program.
Because I did business, but like I always like kind of was like wanting to dabble in, or should I do like wildlife biology or something? Because I knew I loved outdoors and hunting. I just didn't know, but I didn't want to be like a biologist. Like,
Right, right.
so that's pretty cool, man. And yeah, I mean, the hunting industry is definitely, I've really enjoyed the last 5 years, because it's like you said, you can learn marketing, but I've been dealing with, I won't name drop, but like an outdoor company recently approached me through a marketing agency.
Agency,
So like the
yeah.
person I've been talking to has no idea about hunting, like at all, or the hunting
Right.
industry. And so it's like really tough trying to like explain to her like why this won't work, or like how,
Yeah.
why like I can't do this because it just does. And like she just, it's hard, like it's a very nuanced thing. And also it's a place where you have to earn trust and respect and show that, you know, you're in this for the long haul. You're not gonna, A, you know, show up with a fancy media kit and then be gone the next year and no one's ever heard of you again. Or, you know, get on, you know, people find out 3 years down the road that you're, you know, you're killing these big bucks because you're freaking a poacher and baiting
Yeah.
and, you know, whatever.
Right.
Like, brands
Yeah.
want to have to, like, if they're gonna put their hard-earned marketing, you know, the brand they've built, and
Yeah.
kind of in some small way give you the keys to a piece of that, they got to know they can trust you, and it's not going to come out 2 years later that you're a, you know, piece of garbage like poaching and trespassing and whatever, you know.
Yeah, 100%. Well, it's kind of interesting because it is unique when you have different perspectives, though, right? Like we have some folks on our marketing team that have, you know, that work with our dog and our hunt products that are not so hunt focused. And what's really interesting to me is just the different perspectives that they're able to provide, kind of an outside lens, if you
Oh, for
will.
sure.
So I think it is a balance, right? But 100%, you know, when you put your faith and your trust into someone to talk about and represent your brand, right? Like we want to be working with the best out there. So, yeah.
And yeah. And it, that's kind of cool too. Like, definitely, I hear what you're saying about having different perspectives. Like, I think it's kind of been an advantage for me because I kind of like live and breathe and move in the Western mountain hunting kind of space, but I live in Virginia. So like I'm an outsider. And you know, a lot of people, myself included in the beginning, like really were like, man, that's a big handicap. It's a big negative. But actually, like I tried to turn that, and how does that make me different? How does that make me unique? And make that into an advantage. And I actually am kind of grateful now that, you know, that I am doing something that not many folks are doing, which is, you know, coming from the East, doing consistently DIY, you know, hunts out West, and having success. And so having that different perspective is cool, man, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm well familiar, right? Like we're from Kansas City, Flatland, Kansas. And so anytime you go out west being an Easterner, it's challenging and it's different.
Absolutely.
You don't get to practice with the elevation that guys do out west. But I think you're a great case to just show anyone out there that is from the east that's thinking about going out west and doing some hunting, like it's possible, man. It's
For
a lot
sure.
of work, but it's attainable.
Yeah. Especially if you, you know, set your expectations and start with realistic goals, like, you know, not like I'm gonna go kill a 350 bull with my bow year
Yeah.
one on, you know, over the counter tech. Like, no, like start with an antelope hunt. Like,
Yeah.
realize that it's gonna take you time to figure out terrain and glassing and stalking. You know, it's been 5 years I've been doing it. And I'm just now feel like I'm like, and I've been doing like, you know, five, six, seven hunts a year. I feel like I'm just now getting to a place where I can speak on some things with a bit of authority. Just because I've put in the time and effort and everything, but yeah, just anybody can do it. I totally firmly agree with you there. You know, you gotta have your expectations and your reality in check, but it absolutely can be done, and that's kind of part of my whole thing. If I can do it, anyone can do it. But
Right. Yeah.
anyway, Greg, we haven't
Yeah.
been talking to you much, man. Where are you from? What's your background, and what do you do at Garmin?
I'm military brat, so I've been
Okay.
all over. Once I got to college, I pretty much hit Kansas City and have been here since. So, been in the engineering industry for a little over 30 years now.
Okay.
Been at Garmin for 21,
Oh, wow.
and first big chunk of that was a software engineering manager. And 3, 4 years ago, as we started to get into more shooting and hunting related products, like ballistics and things like that, I was getting a lot of calls and questions about how this should work and that, and ended up just kind of moving over and becoming the product manager for our shooting sports, at least on the rifle side.
Okay. Are you a outdoorsman yourself or shooter?
A little bit of an outdoorsman, definitely a shooter.
Okay.
Been shooting pistols competitively for 15 years
Oh,
and
nice.
rifles for 5 years now.
Okay.
Haven't had an opportunity to do a lot of hunting until last season. Patrick dragged me out and
Nice.
got my first deer, so looking
Oh, cool,
forward to doing
man.
that again. So, and a pile of
Okay.
pigs.
You guys
Greg.
got to tell me the Reader's Digest version of that story. I got to hear that one.
Of Greg's first hunt. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Man, it was it like talk about you go out on a first ever hunt and just things cannot go more perfectly.
Okay.
I remember so I was we were down in Texas. I was chasing a big free range oddad. We had a couple of big ones on camera. And so that was really my goal of the week was to put one of those on the ground. Greg really didn't come in with too many expectations, so to speak. But and I'll tell it from my perspective. I'll let
Sure.
Greg tell his side of the story. But I'm sitting in the blind that very first morning. It can't be more than 45 minutes from the sun coming up. And he actually, I mean, he was hunting less than a mile from us on a big flat piece of Texas ground. So sound travels a long ways. And we heard the first rifle shot of the morning. And I know we'll get into InReach later, but because we had InReach down there, we were able to text back and forth through the Messenger app. So I texted Greg to see what was going on. He sent me back a picture of a pig. So literally 45 minutes in, he's got his first animal on the ground. He shot a pig. He moved spots another half a mile down the way because there's still plenty of time left in the morning. This is middle of the whitetail rut down in Texas too. So these deer are
Nice.
moving late into the morning. And another hour goes by after he's set up, and we hear another rifle shot crack off. And I mean, he shot a great deer, man. So he shot an awesome buck and a pig within an hour and a half, first day ever hunting with a rifle.
Wow.
Absolutely. I mean, because of his PRS experience, I'll brag on him a little bit. The guy's incredible. I mean, he can put a rifle round anywhere he wants to at any distance. He's really, really, savvy with all the ballistics and all the different variables. He knows how to hold on target. So I mean, both those animals didn't take two steps. It was pretty
Nice.
incredible. But Greg, tell your side of the story.
Yeah, we set up early before the sun, obviously, and sun comes up and it was probably 5 minutes. It was just as soon as it's light enough to really see what we're doing, got a pig, and then we moved over and the guy we were hunting with is like, yeah, set up here and check it out. We'll probably have you come out here tomorrow. We're just gonna get the lay of the land, see what's going on. And so we're up on a bluff and just set up there and arranged both directions as far as I could and got the down angle and set up kind of a little target card for myself on my watch. And yeah, half hour later, a couple does come by and a big buck walks in behind him, and it was just a really easy morning.
What rifle were you shooting?
Oh yeah, you'll like this. Since I didn't own a hunting rifle at the time, I was shooting Barrett MRAD in 300 PRC.
Nice, dude. Dude, Barrett makes amazing stuff. So
It was a
what was the feeling like though? I mean, you're used to shooting steel and paper. Were you surprised, or were you like with the, adrenaline, or was it just kind of like another day in the office, push down?
Somewhere in between. It wasn't completely a non-event, but it definitely wasn't as adrenaline dump as I had maybe been led to believe it would be. So
Yeah, you
just
seem like a cool customer though, so I don't
well, yeah, 5 years of competitive rifle shooting, you get used to the stress a little bit, but
Yeah.
and it was not a difficult shot. It was 128 yards,
Okay.
maybe 10 degrees downhill.
I think the quote from the show is, "I can feel my pulse in my ears."
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Afterwards, more than before, but
Yeah.
yeah. Which was that? You said from the show. Was it on a certain show?
Is on Americana Outdoors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So on Outdoor Channel.
You may have heard me mention it before, but I'm really proud to announce that this year I started working with Browning Firearms and Ammunition. This year I am shooting the X-Bolt Speed 2 carbon fiber in 300 Win Mag, and it's one of the best shooting rifles I've ever owned. Super smooth action on it, great trigger, and the stock is completely adjustable. You can adjust the length of pull, the comb height, and even adjust from a sporter style grip to a more vertical style grip. So it's a really versatile gun, fit a lot of different shooters, and it's a great shooting gun. Browning has a full lineup of X-Bolt rifles in different stock options, barrel lengths and materials, and calibers. So go over to Browning.com and look at the full lineup of X-Bolt Speed 2 rifles, and I promise you won't be disappointed. Awesome. Okay, well, that kind of leads us, I guess, pretty naturally into the applied ballistics stuff. Let's just start there. Because when I saw Patrick at SHOT Show, I think that's where you were like telling me about the new stuff, which I'm wearing right now is a Tactics 8. I was running the Phoenix 7 for a couple years, and that I just bought that on my own just because I thought I was sick and wanted it. And then you were kind enough to upgrade me here. And I started only hunting out west about 5.5 years ago or so. Before that, East Coast, whitetail, mainly archery and some like shotgun. Actually, I was in a dog club for a long time, but the dogs was never quite my thing. I mainly still hunted, but I'm familiar with that world. Dog hunting in Virginia is a big deal. So anyway, coming from that, I remember I still have a section of a sapling about this big around that I cut out and like put on my shelf. Like I'm looking at it right now of where a bullet went through that thing because I was sitting in my backyard behind my house in Chesapeake, and one of the biggest whitetails I've ever seen in Virginia comes out, and not far. I mean, 100 yards maybe. I'm shooting a shotgun, a slug gun with a anyway, missed this buck. And I was so sick over it, and I like look at my thing, at my gun, which I literally was so ignorant. I thought you could just like basically just slap a scope on there and like take it out and shoot a couple times, like zero it, and you're good to go. Like I didn't like I looked at it like I could with my fingers move the scope on the like on the mount on my shotgun, and I was like, this is ridiculous. Like so that's just showing you like how far I've come to again, I'm not like claiming to be some amazing expert shooter, but like, I can shoot fairly well. I've learned a lot. I've come a long way. I think my longest shot on a deer was 567. This blacktail right here. And actually it's a Boone and Crockett blacktail, my biggest deer ever. But it's been a fun journey. When I first started, it was full of a lot of anxiety because I was so ignorant. But this season, and I'm not just saying this because I'm talking to you guys, incorporating the applied ballistics thing on my watch and the Zero chronograph has drastically not like made me necessarily a better shooter mechanically, because that's all on me, but like taking my the guesswork, I guess, and anxiety, and like taking the time it takes for me to be confident in a dope, like dramatically decreased it and increased my confidence with shooting at distance and dialing my scope. And so just a real quick, like, I've used it on my muzzleloader now, my X-Bolt that I got for this season. But when I was recently in New Zealand, I didn't get my paperwork done in time. So I had to literally went to New Zealand, went to a gun shop, and the guys at Browning were kind enough to arrange for me a loaner X-Bolt when I got there. I had to mount the scope at night, jet lagged at like midnight, and then go the next day, get it zeroed in and, have a dope and get it ready to go and hunt, and ended up making like a perfect 400 yard shot. And it was because I was able to get my, muzzle velocity and everything dialed, get it in my watch, set up a profile, and I was confident. And it took us like 30 minutes at the range, and I was like confident out to 400. So talk to me a little bit about the applied ballistics and just from your perspective as kind of more expert on the whole thing, just walk the listeners through what it is and what the capabilities are for that.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I guess before we get into the applied ballistic stuff, I think it's probably important that we talk about, Garmin outdoor watches as a whole and what's
Okay.
different. Because yes, Garmin has applied ballistics in watches, and it's not just the Tactix 8. We also have like the Instinct 3 Tactical. So if you're a guy that's looking for something at maybe a little bit cheaper price point, obviously Tactix 8, you're talking $1,300, $1,400. But for $600, you could actually get an Instinct 3 Tactical.
Oh,
So just to
nice.
give a 30-second overview on kind of Garmin's line of outdoor watches, there's really three that anyone out there in the hunting realm should be looking at. And that's our Instinct, our Phoenix, and our Tactix. Instinct is kind of that entry level, starts at about $400. It's going to have all your outdoor features, all your health features as well. Fitness stuff, it'll still pair up to the app. You really are getting just about everything in that watch. You do have the flashlights now built into all the Instinct series. So that's kind of your baseline.
I gotta interrupt you there because
Yeah.
it sounds like dorky, I don't know, but like that's literally one of my favorite things about the watch is the freaking flashlight. I use
Yeah,
this thing
dude.
literally every day. I'm not kidding. Like if whether it's like get up to give the my little baby a bottle or on a hunt, like if you're in the tent and you're just kind of getting stuff ready to go to sleep at night, just like having a light that's always on you is like
Yeah.
so awesome.
Well, dude, when they told me they were going to put a light into watches, I was like, that's kind of overkill, don't you
Yeah,
think? And then
it seems gimmicky, but it's so useful.
Well, and I also thought that thing's just going to burn your battery like no other. And really, neither of those became true because, when you really think about how much you use your iPhone flashlight in a day, I mean, I bet you it's 5 to 10 times a day. Now, instead of using the phone flashlight, I'm just using the watch,
Yep.
like you said, every single day.
Even saved me one time when I was in New Mexico on this elk hunt right here. My headlamp, I forgot to charge it. It died. I had to hike out an entire way through the dark using my watch, and it actually like saved me hiking through like horrible terrain in the dark. So anyway, that's
Yeah.
a feature that a lot of people might gloss over or think they won't use it. It is extremely useful.
Yeah,
So anyway,
for
sorry to cut you
sure.
off.
Oh no, you're good, man. So that's the Instinct. That's kind of the lower level entry level watch, outdoor watch that Garmin provides. When you take a step up from Instinct, you're really looking at like our Phoenix. So the Phoenix introduces fully onboard mapping. So you will have a map straight there, right there on your watch. You're also going to have all of our golf and dive features within the Phoenix. Think of the Phoenix as like an does everything watch. It's got all of your outdoor features, golf, dive. All your fitness features, all your activities. It's really got just about everything that Garmin provides all within one platform. It's also got, it's made out of titanium and the sapphire glass. Hunter, I'm sure you're well aware at this point, but that sapphire is one of the hardest materials on earth. There is very little that you're ever going to do to be able to scratch that thing or crack it or break it in any capacity. I mean, the things are about as durable as any product out there. And then really when you go from Phoenix to Tactix, this is where you come in, is this is really for your rifle guy, whether you're shooting competitively or you're hunting long range with rifles. And long range could mean anything over 200 yards, right? Like
Yeah.
that's really where that ballistic stuff starts to come in handy. But essentially the Tactix is a Phoenix just with an applied ballistics calculator built into it. It's
Okay.
also got a couple of other tactical features like a green flashlight instead of red. It's got like a base jumping mode and a couple more military focus features. But for the majority of our conversation, it's that applied ballistics app. So those are really your three categories. Again, an Instinct does have a tactical version as well with an AB calculator. If you're a guy that's looking for a little cheaper price point watch, I think those run $600 for
Okay.
the tactical version of the Instinct. But yeah, man, I mean, I think that gives some good direction of if you're a guy that's looking for a Garmin watch, that really sums it up pretty nicely as far as those three tiers go. And then I'll let Greg kind of hop into the applied ballistics and where that came from, where the idea came from, and how we came to be.
Sure. Yeah, we really started with the applied ballistics back on the Fortrex. It's kind of our military-ish, I'll call it a wearable. It's not really a watch because it's bigger than you want to wear every day. But it gives you the ability to set up a profile for multiple rifles and basically get the dope for whatever distance you want to shoot. Give you a range card, or you can set up a target card if you're in a spot and you know, I've got three or four landmarks out there. I want to target those and say, I know that one's 150, that one's 250, that one's 375. And you can set up the direction of fire, the incline or decline, everything, and wind directions, and get your dope to those spots to kind of get you pre-staged for whatever you might encounter.
Yes.
So
So target card, I've never used that before, but that's.
target card, think of it like a range card, except you can customize the distances and the directions.
That's pretty cool. I haven't tried that yet. But yeah, I mean, going from, the classic having to print off a little thing and like tape it to the side of your rifle, which I was doing, to now, like you said, I have in here a profile. You set up in the app all your information about your load and stuff like that. And then I have like a muzzleloader profile. I have my rifle profile. I had one for my New Zealand rifle. And you just go in there, you can pick which rifle you're using. Boom, range card. And you can, set different increments to yardages. And it's spot on, man. Like, it's spot on.
Yeah, I've used it for first round impacts out to almost 2 miles.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I'm not
So,
doing that, but but
but
that's sick, man.
yeah, when you set up your profiles, what do you use for the bullet? Do you use the G1, G7, or custom drag models?
G1.
Okay. For modern, like Botel hollow point type rifles, your best bet, if you're going to use a G standard, it would be G7,
Okay.
but you're really going to get the best results out of the custom drag profile.
Okay.
So, like a G7, there's a standard bullet shape that is a G7. And that G7 number that you get for the bullet, 0.435 or whatever, is a scaling factor applied to that standard drag model for the G7 shape. But what you get with a CDM is Applied Ballistics actually goes out and measures the entire flight of the bullet out to as far as it'll go using radar. And they track the drag at each increment. So instead of using a G7 standard that's a scaling factor applied to a standard projectile, you're getting the actual drag for that actual bullet.
How do you get that information?
It's all measured with radar, and AB has this ridiculously expensive ballistic radar system that they haul around in a truck and set up on a range, and they shoot, multiple bullets and track the distance, track everything out, and
Yeah.
then come back and generate that drag model.
Because I feel like for me, for what I'm doing, and most hunters, who are, when you say long range, I mean, for me, anything like like I said, the longest shot I ever taken on a deer was 567. I try to keep it like four, if I can. It's better for just for me and for footage, honestly. And I just kind of know my limitations, but it seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, but the G1 number is more kind of like readily available. Like bullet manufacturers or like ammunition manufacturers will like put that number out. Is that that's correct, right?
Yeah, the G1 and G7 numbers you'll see on the ammo boxes, they're getting a little better. They used to not be very trustworthy. But if you're using the tactics and you have the AB calculator on there, if you select the custom drag model, you can actually go in and say, I'm shooting a burger, 245 grain long range hybrid target, and it knows the drag model for that. You don't
Okay.
have to actually know the number. It's all
Gotcha.
built into the watch.
Wow. And then for me, something that has been, because I've used ballistics calculators before and stuff, they always seem pretty good. But I've had the best success with this system and the watch. But what I think is taken to the next level is getting accurate muzzle velocity data. And that's using the Zero chronograph. And for guys listening, if you don't have one, I was kind of like at first intimidated, like, or worried, like, because like I said, I'm fairly new and I'm not like in the PRS thing and I'm not an engineer. So, like, I know enough, but like, but I was insanely pleasantly surprised with how easy that thing is. It's basically like you literally turn it on and like put in like one setting of like, your bullet weight and like put it in front of your gun and it just works. How do,
Right.
like, but without going into like insane crazy detail, how do you do that? How does that work?
Well, I think that really starts, and Greg won't ever take credit for this, but I mean, he's got one of the most instrumental parts in the development of that product. And I think it really started with just identifying a need in the market. Chronographs were big, they were hard to use, they didn't, the
Expensive.
battery life, yeah, they were expensive, the battery life didn't work well. And so it was really identifying a need in the market to make something that was easier, that was smaller, that had great battery life. And that was like the whole idea for the Zero C1, is how can we make what's already out there, but make it, it takes you three buttons that you have to press for the thing to be set up and running, ready to go. There's no alignment, so you're not sitting there having to wiggle it back and forth
That's
to get
amazing.
it to read correctly. I mean, as long as you're putting a projectile within about 15 inches of that unit, whether to the side or over top, it's just giving you great data. I'll let Greg kind of get more into the weeds on like actually how that process looked and whatever he's able to share from his side. But from an outsider's view in, it was really cool to see that.
And like, just for people listening to it, it's so important because to get that accurate dope card or whatever range card, you can look at the muzzle velocity on your box, but a lot of times it's quite different from what you're actually getting. Surprisingly, I'm shooting Browning ammo this year. Their muzzle velocities are actually lower than I'm getting. I'm getting like around 3,000, just above 3,000 feet per second, from the Browning ammo I'm shooting, which is pretty fast for 300 Win Mag. But anyway, yeah. Once you have that, I mean, that's a game changer. But yeah, Greg, speak to that a little bit, like just generally from like a layman's perspective, how does that thing work?
One of the main reasons you really need a chronograph to get good velocity data is because with that ammo, there's a lot of things that are going to impact velocity. So the length of your barrel is going to make a difference because it's how long the powder has to burn. All powder is to some degree or another temperature dependent for its burn rate. So it'll speed up or slow down by some feet per second per degree. So you really want to use the chrono and get velocity data for the environment you're shooting in. And the ability to just set it down next to your rifle and shoot a handful of rounds, you don't even need to enter the bullet weight if you're not interested in the kinetic energy solution. So at a bare minimum, all you have to do is tell it it's a rifle and it's over 1500 feet per second and hit go. And that's all you have to do. It continuously transmits radar and it watches for the reflection off the back of that bullet. And it measures the phase shift in that and calculates the speed. So it's very accurate. It's 0.1%.
Yeah, it almost seems like magic. And speaking of the
It
battery
does.
life, I used that thing like 3 times, and then I was out of town for an entire month. And then yesterday, I was like, oh man, I'm going to the range yesterday. Pulled it up, turned it on, still had half a battery. I was like, wow, okay. So I don't want to, I don't want to like beat a dead horse, but it really is an amazing thing. And if you guys are, you know, if you follow different people on social media, like everybody's using them now. They're just the accuracy and like the ease of use. It's a great, great product. So hats off to you, man. It's an
Thanks.
awesome
Yeah,
piece of technology.
I think we finally just we got a product that is easy enough to use and accurate enough that people aren't afraid to use it. I mean, you don't have to go down range and worry about shooting your chronograph or any of the things you used to have to
I
do.
mean,
So,
to me, it's just made things more fun, right? Like, and I'm mostly an archery guy. I'm just starting to dip in more into the rifle space, but like shooting with different arrow setups and different weights and looking at the kinetic energy of this arrow versus this arrow, it's made it fun. You know, it's something that I can bring out to the range. I can slip it in my pocket. I can literally have someone just holding it next to my bow. It doesn't have to be set up on a nice tripod. And the thing just works. And I think that's really what sets us apart from a lot of the other guys out there is that we've made using a chronograph fun instead of tedious.
Yeah, and like just another anecdote, like I was shooting my muzzle loader, shooting really great, and then I had one that was just like way off. And like I'm like, why did that happen? And I was able to look back at the chronos because I was getting like I got like 2,000 feet per second less on that shot for whatever reason. And then I was like, what? And so I figured out I had run a wet cleaning patch down my breech right before, and some of that moisture got into my breech plug and drastically reduced the speed of the projectile, whatever. And that's why that shot was off. So, you know, it kind of helped me, you know, when you're in the range and trying to get a weapon set up and you have something fly, and you're just like, you don't know why. And then you're like questioning yourself, like, so it just kind of like cleared that up. I was like, okay, that's why. Like, and so that was helpful.
Yeah, when you see something out of the ordinary, it's an easy way to instantly remove a variable for what could be wrong, and it makes it that much easier to figure out what's happening.
Absolutely. Okay, so we hit on that a little bit. And again, I just gotta say it's really drastically increased my confidence at long range and decreased the time it takes for me to be confident with a new weapon. So really, really stoked with that system. You know, obviously all three of those watches you just mentioned, not only for hunting, but just everyday life. Like I don't only wear this thing, I'm going on hunts. You know, it's tracking your sleep. You know, fitness and training is a huge part of what I do because I gotta be in shape for all the stuff I do. So tracking the fitness. I mean, moon phases. So we could talk for like 3 hours about all the stuff it does, but do want to kind of keep it somewhat focused on the hunting side of things. But just from a life and fitness perspective, these things are amazing devices. So I don't even know, you know, I can't even like list everything, but couple things I did want to ask about specifically on the hunting side was first, so like a big thing that I like to use the watch for is I do use Onyx Hunt in the field, but you know we were talking about beforehand, like a lot of times I might be in the backcountry, I might be alone, or you know with just a camera guy who's not really paying attention to where we are. And being from, you know, the East Coast, a flatlander, like, and especially if you're in a place like the tundra in Alaska that just looks like the open ocean, like, you can, if you just strike off for like 3, 4, 5 miles and don't track where you're going or where you've been or where camp is, like, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. So I always, just to be safe, no matter what, start a track on my phone, but I like to have the watch not only as a like safety redundancy to where if I lose my phone or if the app crashes or my phone dies or whatever, I have a backup. Also, it's super, sometimes you don't want to stop and pull out your phone. It's nice to be able to like just look at your watch. And I had been doing for that, I kind of had been starting like a hike activity when I head out. But it doesn't say, I don't think it saves the track on the map for like future days. Is there a function and also, yeah, is there a better way to do that, that maybe like I can track a hike and leave that track on my map and like the next day look at it and follow the same route or something like that?
Yeah, so all of that information will actually push to your phone. So if you have the Connect app will show it, but it'll show a pretty basic version of it. But what you can also do is pair it to your Garmin Explore app. So the Explore app is for all your handhelds, your watches, anything with tracking or waypoints or routes or anything like that. You can actually manage through the Explore app. So you'll be able to view that activity if you wanted to export that route back into your watch to be able to display it and follow it the next day or later on down the road. You can do that. So that would be my biggest piece of advice there, would be to be utilizing that Explore app just for like your activities to actually display it on a map and see exactly where you went.
Okay. So you think
We do also
that's still the most effective way to do it? Like if you're heading out in the morning and you want to have that hit a hike activity, and then that will auto once you save it, it'll automatically be in your Explorer app as well.
Correct. Yeah.
As
Yep.
like a previous activity, then you can like pull it up.
Right. So you'll be able to go back and view any of those activities. If you were like, we ran into something at this point on, along this hike, you could actually go back. And another cool thing about the watch too, Hunter, is if you press and hold that top left button, you get to that pinwheel. There's an option to just mark a waypoint right there. So you can do save location. So if you're ever on a hike and you have like a point of interest, maybe you ran into a herd of elk or, whatever the case may be, you could just punch that. It's going to drop a waypoint right there.
Okay.
Again, you can go back into the Explore app, view that waypoint. And then if you wanted to navigate back to it, you could do that as well.
Okay, so that might be a good thing to just drop one at camp, and
Yeah.
then no matter what, you always can at least see on a map where your camp is.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And
Okay.
another cool thing with the watch too, and this is something that we've come out with in the last couple of years, is our Outdoor Maps Plus subscription. So specifically for like the watches and the handhelds, our dog tracking products, even like our off-road navigation products, our tread units can all utilize Outdoor Maps Plus, which gives you all sorts of different mapping layers. You can download satellite imagery, which for me is huge. The topographical map is really nice that comes on the watch, but when you overlay that with satellite imagery, like you're really being able to see where you're at, where camp is,
Oh, you can get
everything just
satellite
becomes a
imagery
little
on the
clearer.
watch.
Correct.
Oh,
Yep.
nice. I haven't even done
Yeah.
that
Yeah. You can get public land information, the whole nine yards
yet.
with
Nice.
Outdoor Maps Plus.
Okay. Talk to me real quick, because I poked around it a little bit, but I don't think I fully understand it. Talk to me about expedition mode.
Yeah, so expedition mode is essentially, think of it like a battery saver while using GPS. So essentially, what we're doing is we're slowing down the rate at which your watch is pinging satellites to in order to maximize battery life. So for the guy that's going out and doing GPS activities in the mountains, I would highly recommend that you put it into expedition mode. Now, what you might see on your track lines is rather than having this really nice, elegant track line, it might be a little bit more bounced around because we're pinging less often. But for a scenario when you get in a pinch, you need to figure out how to get back the way that you came, or you need to navigate from point A to point B, that's really just going to extend your battery life out, if that makes
Okay, yeah.
sense.
For sure.
Yeah.
Although I've never had the thing die on a hunt. I always charge it before, but yeah, if you're running a lot of activities like hikes and stuff, it can drain it faster for sure.
The time you're okay, unless you got, I mean, if you start talking a 2 full week hunt and you're using GPS every single day, you might be right there. But if you're doing a week-long hunt, even if you're using GPS every day, you shouldn't, there should be no issues.
Yeah. One thing I have to mention while I'm thinking about it, because I'll forget. I don't know if this is new, but we were in New Zealand. I was on a glassing knob, put my phone down, didn't realize it, walked away like 300 yards or a couple, I don't know how far, and my watch like beep boop, like you just walked away from your phone. And I was like, oh my goodness. And then it allows you to track where your phone is. So this is not the first time it's happened. I dropped my phone on a bear hunt one time too, and I used just like the, find my phone feature,
Yeah,
which I also use probably like once a day.
right.
But dude, that thing literally saved me from losing my phone, because you know how it is when you're out there, like stuff all looks the same. Finding a tiny phone like when you're like a ways away is not easy. So that's an amazing feature that has saved me twice from losing my phone in the backcountry.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, like you said, I probably use it once a day as well. Anytime my phone gets stuck down in the couch cushion or I leave it laying around in some odd place, I can just ping it on the watch, which makes it that much
You do need
easier.
to have the Connect app open for it to work,
You
right?
do.
Okay, so you gotta
Correct.
make
Yeah.
sure you don't close out your Connect app.
For all those app closers out there, just leave the one app open and you'll be
Especially on a
golden.
hunt, because dude, that thing, I think it
Yeah.
even makes a noise too, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it'll chime your watch,
Yeah.
so.
Well, that literally saved me. But anyway, that was just like a random aside because I thought about it. But another thing I was looking at, I know you guys put some new activities in on the new watches or the new software or whatever. Tell me, I haven't used it yet or tried it much, the hunt activity. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, so the hunt activity is pretty basic. It's really tracking GPS, it's tracking heart rate, stress levels, respiration, but it's just giving you a good idea of where you went. So the hunt activity would be actually a great one to use if you didn't want to use a hike. But any of those activities are going to have slightly different variables that they're showing you. The hunt activity really is pretty darn basic. It's tracking GPS, tracking where you're at, and tracking kind of all your biometrics while you're doing it.
Okay. Sweet. Let me see what I got here still. Okay, well, that's kind of most of the stuff that I wanted to ask you guys about. What I'm sure there's stuff I haven't touched on. What's some of the stuff that maybe I didn't touch on that you think guys need to know about?
For me, like one of the most utilized features, and keep in mind this is coming from like a lifelong duck hunter, where every single day we're out in some random place. Maybe we have cell phone service, maybe we don't. And it's always the question of, because if you move 10 miles, your shooting time is going to change. The time that the sun rises will change depending on where you are geographically. So the most important feature to me is the sunrise sunset, which is all pulling from GPS. So no matter where you are in the entire world, you can always look down at your wrist and you know exactly when the sun's going to rise and when it's going to
Okay.
set, which tells you shooting times.
Even if you don't have
So
service.
even if you don't have service, that's all
Nice.
GPS based. Weather is another important one. Now, weather does require cell phone service to your phone because we're pulling that information via your phone. But the weather's awesome. I use that all the time. Rather than having to pull my phone out, go to the weather app, let it refresh and update, I can literally just ping it on my watch. And this will pull, again, based on your GPS location.
Nice.
And one of the things people don't realize with weather is, in addition to just the hourly forecast, you can actually get radar on the watch. And
Ooh.
there are different overlays you can turn on and off on the radar. So if you don't want to see rain, you want to see wind, speed and direction, you can do that. So
Okay.
there's a lot more there than it looks like at first glance.
I didn't know you could do radar in there. Yeah, and I always, I'm using the, if I'm in the backcountry, don't have service, the weather feature on the inReach is always pretty crucial, which reminds me of another new product that I'm using, and was testing it out in New Zealand, is the inReach Messenger Plus, which is pretty cool. You can send photos now, send voice messages, so it was a little better for keeping in touch with the family. And like, personally, I don't like having cell phone service on hunts. Like, I like being a little bit more removed. Like, I don't know, I feel kind of bad saying that, but I like to be like where I'm at, not like feeling like I need to call home every night. Because that just kind of, I don't know, I like being there in the hunt, experiencing it. So like, I feel like being able to send voice messages and pictures is like just enough to keep in touch really well. Or if, you want to send a success photo to your buddies or something, which I was doing, from the field, that's a pretty cool feature.
Well, an inReach in general is great. If you want to go on a longer hunt, you have a wife and kids at home that really are nervous about you being gone a long time. Just the fact that they know they can get a hold of you if they need to,
And it you can share
it
your
allows you to
location.
hunt more.
Live tracking. I mean, I honestly, I think it's kind of crazy that more people don't use inReach. I mean, it's pretty darn, I mean, you see it all over the place nowadays, but I'll give you an example. I went on a spring bear trip this last spring up in Idaho. It was a fly-in trip. So you get dropped off for a week, you get picked back up. Obviously, me and my hunting partner had inReaches, so we were able to communicate. But towards the back end of that trip, I mean, dude, we ran into like 4 straight days of rain and nasty weather where that plane was not able to get in there. So we ended up packing up camp early and heading back to the airstrip. And there was a guy that was stuck there, did not have an inReach or any other means of communication. He was stuck there for 4 days, sleeping at the airstrip in the rain, and just relying that this plane was going to show up at some point. Luckily, we were able to call the plane. We told them that, hey, there's like a 30-minute weather window where we can see the tops of the mountains. You guys can get in here. And so they were able to get in and get us and get him as well. But that's just, I mean, just goes to show you that, like, it's even if you are the type of guy that doesn't necessarily like the connectivity that maybe inReach provides, it's still crucial for safety and for anything else. And what a lot of guys don't think about is what happens if something not necessarily happens to you, but happens to a family member back home and they have no way of getting a hold of you, right? So it is a two-way communication in that aspect.
And just obviously the ability to, you fall down and get a compact fracture in your leg, and you need a helicopter, hit that SOS button. But yeah, Greg, what about you, man? Is there any other like features that we hadn't really touched on that you think is important to talk about? Or it could be on the, fitness side or health side or anything.
Take a look at the target card if you haven't really looked into that, because you can set up targets in different directions and it'll take into account the wind direction and give you holds for targets in different directions and account for the wind. And then just poke around. There's other interesting things in there, like a stage timer that's primarily for competitive shooting, but you can use it for anything. It's basically a timer that has user definable sub timers, kind of. So you can set a 10-minute timer and have it alert you at 2 minutes and 8 minutes. So you can use it to grill and get reminded to flip your steak or whatever,
Yeah, so basically this thing is user friendly enough to be extremely helpful for guys like me who know just enough to be dangerous. And then you can really deep dive into this thing and, like you said, shoot out to 2 miles and use the windage and all that stuff, and great applications, military guys, hunters, across the board. So really, really cool stuff, guys. I think you guys are doing a great job over there, and it's nice to have I don't know, a company in the hunting industry that's kind of pushing the limits of technology and using tools, to be more efficient, better hunters. So yeah, I pretty much hit most of the stuff I wanted to talk. I was going to ask you about, the most affordable kind of way to get into Garmin, and I think you kind of already mentioned that. Is there anything else, that you guys want to just mention real quick?
Not off the top of my head. I think if you're not familiar with Garmin, there's definitely a product out there for you, right? Like they're ju we're just in so many different categories and cover so many different products from, I mean, our five main business segments being marine, automotive, outdoor, fitness, and aviation. So products within all those realms. If you're a guy out there, we probably have a product for you. And certainly if you like doing outdoor activities, hunting, fishing, whether it be Eastern or Western, the watches are fantastic. They're loaded with features. You're going to find something in there that you're going to use every single day.
100%. Yeah, I'm pretty much the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is check my sleep score. And like, it's just, yeah, aside from the hunting and shooting, it's a constant companion, keeping up with training, phone notifications, flashlight, everything. So, yeah, I appreciate y'all's time and thanks for making great products.
Yeah, dude. Thanks so
Thanks.
much for having us on. This was
Yeah, it's
great.
great.
Yeah. What hunts you got planned this year, Patrick? And are you bringing Greg back out for a more challenging hunt this year?
We're sure gonna try to. I don't know. He made it look pretty darn easy, that's for sure. I got a September Kentucky hunt. So I've never hunted Kentucky, nor have I ever hunted that early for whitetail. So it'll be an opportunity at shooting one in velvet.
Cool.
So that'll be really cool. And then in January, I'm heading out to Arizona to do a combination of sandhill cranes and archery javelina. So
Oh,
I'm
nice.
really looking forward to that. I don't know why, but javelina has always been high on my bucket list. And so chasing
Okay.
one with a bow, I didn't really even think was a thing. But I got a good buddy down there that is going to show me the ropes and see if we can't get one down. But then
Sweet.
obviously a bunch of hunting around here in Kansas and Missouri as well.
You're not linking up with Josh Kirchner, are you?
I'm not. No, it's a
Okay.
guy named Jane or Nash Clark out
Okay,
there.
cool. Yeah, are you using the zero bow sight on that one?
I am.
We didn't even talk about that, but I've seen one. I haven't really messed with one much. Are those legal in Utah?
They're not as of
Okay.
like 2 years ago, unfortunately.
Okay.
It swung the other way. But if you're an Eastern guy, or if, even if you're out west in a state that they are legal, man, they are one. I mean, I've been shooting one now religiously for about 4 years. And it is the best bow sight I've ever put on my bow. Truthfully, it's loaded with features that are not necessarily do it. It doesn't do anything for you. Rather, it's just giving you tools to be more successful. It's giving you a
Yeah.
single aim point. It's got a range finder built in. So all you're doing is pressing and holding a ranging button, letting it go, and it's dropping you a pin for that specific range.
That's
Everything's
cool.
angle compensated. So if steep uphills or steep downhills is no problem. It's incredible.
That is cool, man.
And the crossbow sight's just as easy. Coming from a
Okay.
guy who'd never shot a crossbow until the day I shot a pig with one, so.
Well, yeah, man, dude, we should look at maybe 2026 linking up, doing some kind of hunt together, man. That'd be fun.
Yeah, dude, that'd be a blast.
I haven't. It's funny, like I'm already like thinking about and dreaming and scheming what I'm gonna do in 2026, and like this hunting season haven't even started yet. It's kind of sick. But I'm like, just remember, dude, you got lots of stuff going on this year. Just like focus.
Hard
So,
not to get carried away.
yeah, I'm leaving in 20 days. I'm actually 18 days now. I'm flying in up to Alaska. And we're doing a fly in drop caribou hunt up there. Something I booked out like 2 years ago with a really good pilot, Toke Air Service. So, looking forward to that, man. And then I'll be headed to Utah to chase muzzleloader mule deer with a muzzleloader, which
Oh, cool.
using like again, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but using that the zero and the range card of my muzzleloader has made stuff a dream too. So Anyway, guys, I appreciate your time, and yeah, let me know if there's anything I can do for you, and stay in touch.
Yeah, that sounds great, dude. Thanks so
Thanks
much.
a lot.
All right, talk soon.
Yep.
Bye.